and I hope I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I'm fine.
Wonderful.
Everything is good.
Look, it's a wonderful morning in Windsor. If you're able to short notice fix the issues, that's a good thing.
Listen, I'm lucky to have Vernon, our radio manager,
that's
station
right.
manager. He came, he played with the wires, and he fixed it.
Wonderful. You know, when you're determined, you'll get things done.
That's it.
Beautiful.
So, Parshat HaShavua.
Yeah, this week's Torah portion is Vayera.
Vayera.
It's actually a very special Torah portion for many reasons. Number one, it's my Bar Mitzvah Parsha.
Really?
Bar Mitzvah portion. So that in itself is special for me. But also it's a very, very special Torah portion because it gives us really a lot of insight and lessons for our lives.
Yeah, and it's a long one. It has a lot
of... Yes. A lot of laws and... but it's beautiful.
It's a heavy one,
Right. Look, you know, God reveals himself to Abraham 3 days after the first Jewish circumcision, who was Abraham at age 99. But Abraham rushes off to prepare a meal for three guests, you know, who appear in the desert heat. One of the three, who are all angels disguised as men, announces that in exactly 1 year, the barren Sarah will give birth to a son. And what happens? Sarah laughs. How is that possible? And obviously we see that then Abraham pleads to God to spare the wicked city of Sodom and so on and so forth. And we see it towards the end of the Torah portion where God gives Abraham his test, his final tenth test of going to sacrifice his son Isaac. And ultimately at the end of the day, obviously he doesn't have to do that. It was a test and God has there a ram that was caught in the undergrowth by its horn, and that was offered instead of Sarah's place. Now, if we think about it, you know, it was angels who came to visit Abraham, and three angels. And you think about it, and you ask, why does he need to have three angels? Why can't there be one? The three angels came, one to heal Abraham, one to tell Sarah that she's going to have a son, and the third is to destroy Sodom. Why couldn't one angel do all of them? Why does he need to have three? And I remember when I was a little kid in first grade or whatever it was, you know, just beginning to study the book of Bereshit Genesis, and I was very fascinated by the story. And you know, there's a lot of personalities in the stories. There's Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Jacob, there's Joseph, there's Pharaoh, there's Noah, as the whole book of Genesis. There's a lot of drama. You know, but really something that really captured my imagination was the angel. And there was something very mysterious about them. You know, they were disguised as ordinary people. And, you know, they would show up right in the right place at the right time and solve the problem with their supernatural powers. But yet, we see that the angels really had a weakness. And if you think about it, you know, the first mention of the angels in the Torah, the commentators are quick to point out that the angels could not perform more than one action at a time. Because if we think about it, as I started off saying, why did three angels come to visit Abram as he was sitting at the entrance of his tent? He was hoping to invite people in. And if we think about it, because there were three items to be accomplished. And angels, unlike us, have the ability to multitask. I'm sorry, they do not have the ability to multitask.
Each one could do one thing.
Correct. And Rashi explains, who's the commentator on the Torah, and behold three men, one to bring the news of Isaac's birth to Sarah, one to overturn Sodom, and one to heal Avram. For one angel does not perform two errands. I end that quote of what Rashi says. So, if we think about it as a young child or anyone, it's very comforting. Maybe I couldn't fly like an angel, but at least I could do two things at once. You know, as a kid, you can run and shout at the same time. I'm better than an angel. Angel can only do one thing. Those is when you think about it then. But now, years later, you know, we ask ourselves, and I ask myself a lot of times, why is it so important for Rashi to emphasize the angel's weakness? Why didn't he say about what they had the greatness of coming to tell the great news of Isaac going to be born? Why is it so important, if we think about it also, for every child studying Bereshit Genesis to know that angels cannot perform two things at once. And perhaps it's because it's not a handicap. Perhaps it's the secret to the angel's power. Rashi's comment is a critique, really, I think, of the human condition. The angel cannot do more than one thing at a time because the angel identifies with the task completely. The angel has no other dimension to his personality other than what? Fulfilling God's mission. No personal name, no agenda, no personal ego to get in the way. And at that moment, he is nothing but the task. So therefore, he cannot perform two acts simultaneously, as it is impossible to be fully in two places at one time. A person, on the other hand, even when performing the will of God, never loses his own ego. A person always maintains the sense that he has an independent identity, an identity which happens to be engaged in the mission. So therefore, he can never become one with the mission, and therefore some aspect of his identity will always be able to be engaged in something else. And Rashi understood, I think, and I feel, a child reading this story is no angel. Yet Rashi is teaching us how to be more like an angel, how to be fully engaged in that, what we are doing, to the point that we forget about everything else. How to help someone else, and while we're doing so, losing our own ego. How to speak to our children carefully, look them in the eyes, and listen. Listen as if at that moment we have nothing else in our life. You know, it's very hard nowadays to do that. We have to be able to listen that we have no emails, no deadlines, no one to meet, no places to go, no other interests besides them, the people we are listening to. Nothing else.
Yeah.
And I think what he's teaching us is to be present like an angel. An angel cannot multitask because whatever he's doing now, he is fully involved. He throws himself fully into that. There is no other part of him that can go anywhere else. And that's what we have to do. And I think we have that problem, is that we do something, but are our minds really what we're doing? We're thinking about, oh, we have this deadline, we have to be here tonight, there tomorrow, we have to be over here, this business meeting. And then who suffers the most is our family, our kids, because we're not giving them everything we need to do.
Maybe we need one job angels around us.
Yes, sure, maybe. But I think we can become like an angel if we live in the present, if we do exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Be there at the time of listening to a friend, a spouse, or your children. And I think that's so important. I think that's the message that this week's Torah portion can give us, as well as what Rashi is telling us.
That's a nice one, a nice parsha.
Absolutely.
And actually, I remember it from my childhood too. Like you, the whole Bereshit book was fascinating.
It's fascinating. It's got so many...
Fascinating, and it leaves something in your memory as a kid or as a person.
Absolutely. And it gives us the opportunity, like, well, you know, how can I adapt that and somehow live a little bit or try and do as much value that I could of those people? They were also human beings, a lot of them, but they worked on themselves to become better.
Yeah. Rabbi, I want to ask you about services in Shari Tzedek / Shamayim.
We have services Friday evening at 6:15. And obviously tomorrow and Saturday night we move the clock back 1 hour.
Right.
So everything moves back, so we'll have service at 5 o'clock, and we have services Shabbat morning, Saturday morning 9:30, Sunday morning at 8:15, and the community minion is at 7:15 Monday and Thursday in the Parrot's House, adjacent to the JCC. So it's a wonderful day to start off your morning, and we have a beautiful minion, so I encourage everyone to come and start the day off right.
Rabbi, I want to thank you and to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too. And have a wonderful, peaceful week. And I look forward to talking next week.
Thank you.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.